because of the list of stuff that he's got for me, I just say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm right here. Let's take these one at a time. Let's just take these one at a time and see how much truth is in there. And I don't care what Scott Stoddard calls me a liar, because I'm not. I've got a whole book of facts now that will just combat anything y'all have to say about me and marijuana.
Book of facts. I like that.
It is. Facts.
Facts are good.
And I got it. And if you want to question it, oh, where'd you get it, Dan? U.S. Attorney Billy Williams.
What, you were here first? You just don't trust me anymore, do you? That's the bottom line.
Whoa, look at the pile.
I didn't bring that much in.
You should have brought a hand truck.
What are you doing? What the heck is this?
Oh, you can always do that.
You girls have been busy. Excuse me. Staff has been busy.
Really busy.
Legal staff has been really busy.
Is Molly coming?
No.
These chairs are so long.
Come on up, Augustus. Join the fray.
Oh, yeah, no Wally's on.
Okay.
Right. So no Wally day?
I know Wally day.
All right, well, it is 2 o'clock, so I'm going to welcome Lily to the meeting.
Sorry.
All right. No problem. You made it.
Indeed.
Recorder's up and the meeting is not started, my friend. Meeting. Recording started and the meeting has not.
Oh, my apologies. So, okay, so it's 2 o'clock, Tuesday, April 16th, 2019. Mm-hmm. Gathered for the legal counsel update. Item number one is a draft order. In the matter of proclaiming the position of the Board of County Commissioners for Josephine County, Oregon, related to the prevention and suppression of wildfires in Josephine County, this was continued from last week. So you both had the opportunity last week to get the drafts. Have you had a chance to look over them?
Yep. Yes.
Any comments or recommendations of changes?
Gosh, what was the one I made note of? I don't like it. This is different.
Not your marked up copy.
So I thought there was one thing in there that I thought about, but it doesn't say the speedy suppression of fires, because they could, when we just say that the federal, the U.S. Forest Service and BLM should suppress wildfires, but they can do it without telling them that they need to do it at the earliest convenience or at the earliest possible date or as fast as they possibly can. They can say, well, yeah, we're suppressing it, you know, we're on site.
Full suppression when rainy season comes in the fall.
Yes, and that you know, it gives them an out to say, well, our schedule for suppression is October. So it didn't have anything in there that really said, you know, that you were supposed to expedite suppression right away, you know, at the soonest possible thing. You could wait. It was just like they waited a couple of times, and they waited until, well, we'll get on it in a little ways, and then all of a sudden it's out of control. But it didn't have anything in there that said any time frame, just said that you would suppress the wildfire. Do you have my tablet thing? Is that on my tablet? I don't have it here, so, but I was reading it in. Oh, excuse me. Let me get to this part of it.
Okay. I think it's in paragraph one of the, on page two.
Page three?
Two.
So it says, whereas representatives of federal agencies indicated that their agencies have adopted policies which permitted agency representation the discretion to allow wildfires occurring on lands managed by those agencies to continue to burn regardless of the impacts of the wildfire-related smoke on the community. Is that paragraph? That was my page two.
Okay. Yeah, I see it on there.
Or
page two, number one.
Uh-huh. Also lack the resources necessary for
down there,
suppress.
Sorry.
Yeah.
For providing for the full suppression of wildfires and relating smoke occurring on lands managed by those agencies.
So you're thinking like immediate and full or some other language there, Dan?
I don't know the word that I'm thinking of, but you see what I'm saying? If they, well, we don't have the resources, so I guess we just do it like we always want to do it.
Yeah.
Expedited
and full suppression. Full suppression is a very specific term.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and being I just came from another academy, ODF's goal, their projected goal statewide, is that 98% of their fires are will be kept under 10 acres. Last year, they only met 93% of that goal. And what we find is that the smaller the fires, obviously the cost goes down. So if they can keep it as, when they've kept it to under 10 acres, the the cost has been under $10 million a year on suppression. When it's gotten over that 10-acre mark is where we've been out the last couple of years of $72 million plus at just the state portion. That's not BLM and U.S. Forest Services and millions of dollars of suppression, but.
And I think you follow the money.
Yeah.
When you follow the money, that's a good.
So why don't we just add that, immediate and full suppression?
Right, there's three places where you use full suppression. Number four has it, and number six has it. It says fully. And so I don't know if those need the same teeth. One of them is referencing the.
Well, in six, I'd almost say exponentially, or expediently. That would be the better word, expediently.
Just something that says they're supposed to get right on it and attack it. And said, well, you know, we're going to fully suppress, but like I say, it might be when the rains come in November.
I don't know how, like I said,
that was the only thing that I thought as I read through the whole thing. I thought.
How to add a time component that they.
Urgency or.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Good catch.
I don't know the wordsmithing on it, but that. We gotta let them know, because this is letting them know that we don't want them to do it the way they've always done.
Right.
Say, well, yeah, we fully suppressed that fire. It just took a little while. Long
well,
we're
U.S. Forest Service will tell you they did full suppression last year. And
it didn't work.
And
the Klondike was on U.S. Forest Service lands.
Yeah.
But what changed by saying they were allowed full suppression last year was that they put mechanized responses into the
wilderness
areas,
right,
which they had not been able to previously. So they sent out bulldozers, they created fire lines, they created roadways, where in past they have not been able to have those mechanized systems in the wildland areas. But if you ask Mark George, he'll say, and in the meetings I sat at when he was giving agency instructions to the Type 1 teams that came in, was full suppression. And they all stopped and said, wait, are you really full suppression or like last year? And they're like, no, full suppression, you use everything you have. But they still have other policies of how they fight them, where they're drawing the lines around that big box policy.
Right.
That basically means they're going to grow the fire to that box, or try to put fire on the outsides of that box to try to not let it go further. But they kept losing control and they kept growing the fire.
Control burns, you know, when you're at the height of fire season, that's not the time to do control
burns. Not in the middle of the day.
Not in the middle of the day.
They should be doing them at night, not in the day.
The Chetco winds and everything else that come through there in August, and you don't have control over that. It's like California and their Santa Ana winds. There's no stopping that.
So whatever wording we want in here about the timeliness and full suppression, but full suppression is a very specific term. I wouldn't change that.
Yeah, leave that in.
I think leave that.
But just.
Maybe adding expedient and full suppression.
Yeah, the word beforehand.
You know, as soon as possible.
And so I'd add that to number one, number three, and number six. I don't know if you needed number four or not, with the, that's specific to Oregon Department of Forestry and not BLM.
Yeah.
Well, and that's not their policy. Their policy is 98% of the time fires remain under 10 acres.
Yep. So you want to put it in there too, number four?
No, I'm just saying full suppression is not there. Obviously, it's put the fires out, but it's also to keep the fire's smallest footprint as possible.
Well, I'd be agreeable to those changes.
Do you
hear
what they said?
Mm-hmm.
Are you good with that?
Yes, except for number.
I wouldn't do four.
Not four. Okay.
Yep, because that's just Forest Service.
Okay.
And then on three and six, since they have fully versus full. I think you have to have expediently versus expedient.
To get the proper grammar. Get it past the English
two
teacher.
Addresses moving stuff ahead of the fire. Two addresses moving resources in front of the fire instead of after a fire. Instead of suppression. So I do good too.
Okay.
All right.
To adjust that.
So when we get that, we can move forward to weekly business next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm okay with that.
Are there any additional subjects or matters from commissioners?
No, ma'am, not for me.
Okay.
No. Nope.
And therefore, we're going to be moving into executive session. So, the Board of County Commissioners will now meet in executive session for the following agenda items. Item 3A, I can almost read it. Confidential memo regarding public records request and request for reject all bills, bids dated 4/10/19, ORS 192-660-2FH, 2F and H. 3B is land use enforcement, 380 Murphy Creek Road. 3C is Bunker versus State of Oregon, 1635-262 Ninth Circuit, ORS. Sorry, B was ORS 192-660-2E, and C is ORS 192-660-2H. And 3D is County Road Property, 425 River Street, Cape Junction, ORS 192-660-E and F. Approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. Other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or otherwise disclose any of the deliberations or anything said about these subjects during executive session, except to state the general subject of the session as previously announced. No decision may be made in executive session. At the end of the executive session, we will return to open session and welcome the audience back into the room. The recorder will now be turned off at 2:09 p.m. It is 3:10 p.m. We are back in general session. So item 3A, the confidential memo regarding public records requests and requests for bids, all reject all bids dated 4/10/19. We are recommending moving forward. This will be on the weekly business session next Wednesday. Item B, land use enforcement, 380 Murphy Creek. We'd like to instruct staff, or I'd accept a motion for, to instruct staff to go forward in taking action.
I'd make that motion.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
No.
No.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. So item C, Bunker versus State of Oregon. We discussed what actions have taken place and received counsel from staff on any further action. Item 3D, County Road Property, 425 River Street. We got an update on that situation, and it's moving ahead as presented by staff. No further action for us to take at this time. Is that a good summary? Do you guys concur?
Yes, I do.
Awesome. Item 4 is additional subjects and matters from commissioners. I have one. I have been working with Wally, and you guys received a confidential memo this morning on the... It's kind of morphed into a different subject. Let me pull it up because I can't remember what it was called. Basically, the River Basin counties, Jackson, Josephine, Curry, and our partnership there. There's been some updates. Legal brought some concerns. They issued a counsel. I'm trying to get some documentation back to legal, and hopefully we'll have a follow-up with you guys shortly. But legal had recommended that we pause before paying Steve Ireland, which we voted in on last week. So this is all related to that. So I just thought I'd let you know the money has not gone out. I also had a conversation with Amy Amerine with Jeff Merkley's office today about that subject, and they have some follow-up for us as well. So I'm trying to work with Wally to make sure he has all the information to address the concerns that he has for us, but I don't have that all gathered yet in a way that I could present it to you guys.
Okay.
If that makes sense. On a separate note, that House bill passed 9-3 out of committee and is moving to the Senate side. And that's House Bill 2379 on this topic is moving forward.
Good.
So it made it out of one house and moved to the other house. So just thought I'd give you a heads up on that one. Separately, I got invited to a reception at the governor's hosting honoring Oregon's women holding elected office. I'm not sure if it's something that we can work around. It's an evening reception on a Thursday, which is tough to try to, I could potentially get up there.
What's
it doesn't look
like. What's the date on it?
May 2nd, Thursday, May 2nd.
I'm out of town.
Okay.
I can't attend.
Based on gender, right?
It would mean that
based on gender, I'm not allowed to attend.
It would mean that I would miss the Animal Advisory Committee that night. But otherwise, the schedule looks like it would address me being able to drive up there in time. But I just actually got that right at
2:00. Well, that's pretty cool. I hope you get a chance to go.
So, okay. I will try to make that effort. I got to tell you, the meeting this morning was pretty cool. Rogue Fire Protection Association, we're members of.
Right.
And Dave Streeter is there. They said that I'm the first commissioner. I went in November, and I went... today, you guys blessed me going last week because related to fires and stuff like that, or a couple weeks ago, you said to go. One of the Murphy products folks said in the 11 years he's been attending, I'm the first commissioner to have attended this much.
Good.
And they were appreciative that we're taking that stance and advocating on their behalf as well. So I'm trying to think if there was anything else that was pending. I think it can wait. You're here tomorrow morning and then you're gone? Okay. I just have been, you know, based on conversations we had last week, I've been mulling over some of that stuff and wanting to make sure that we have time to follow up and give due diligence of hearing each other out and following up and wanting to make sure we get that goal setting scheduled. And we've talked about some different roles and different things and wanting to make sure that, well, let's put everything on the table. Why does it have to be this? Because we've always done it or this, because let's just to be different than all what we've always done. Why can't we hybrid something and figure something out that actually meets our needs? Because what we do changes every day. So I just want to make sure that we take that time, but I don't want to have that without you. So I was trying to be mindful of that. So we'll wait until you get back. If that'll be helpful.
I think it would.
Okay.
Yep.
I did meet with, a couple of weeks ago, I met with the people up at Spencer Creek. There was quite a group. I met at the bottom of Spencer Creek. We drove all the way up. That was what I was questioning Elizabeth from BLM about, you know, because that is a real mess up there. Talking to Evan up there last night, we were brainstorming, and I said, what would be the opportunity is instead of going up there and threatening and, gee, we're going to bust you and we're going to write tickets and everything, what if a group of the people that lived up there, and I would go along with them, we get a dumpster, all of a sudden a dumpster shows up there, one of our SOS dumpers. While they're up there shooting and everything, we go up there with rakes and start raking up all the stuff and putting it in the dumpster, put up targets on the cut bank, and put a little deal on there. So these are your provided for your use, and this is, you know, use it, don't abuse it, or you'll lose it. Have a little catchy thing that, you know, signed by the neighbors, and please don't shoot in this direction because there's a house down there, and please don't shoot over this way, and do more to not discourage what they're doing up there, but encourage it from the standpoint that it's okay. We like to come up here and shoot. We don't want to block this thing off. So use it, don't abuse it, or you lose it. And just make some nice signs, put down at the bottom of the road, telling people, you know, hey, everybody, you know, this, everybody lives up here and we're all aware of what's going on, but clean it up. We just go up and clean it up as a neighborhood, and you may be able to say, yeah, I got a rake, you want to get on it? And let's get this thing cleaned up. It'll take us an hour, clean the whole thing up, and you're done. And maybe that, you know, kind of a partnership type thing.
The
I don't know, but I know
liability.
We're not allowed to do it. I got it.
I didn't say that. Just said there's potential liability.
So
what?
I should let you know.
Allowing
that,
shooting?
Yeah.
Well, that we're not encouraging. But I did follow up emailing one of the guys in D.C. from the BLM office in D.C., or Department of Interior, asking about the status of our RACs. Remember how we applied 2 years ago for the RAC, and they've never appointed anybody? The RACs are where we get the Title II money to clean up those properties. And since those all are gone through the RAC, we had authorized and I had emailed asking for their assistance getting that going. What I wanted to see about following up is BLM gave us the names of some of the neighbors. I brought this topic up at that fire thing today about the neighbors partnering with us with some of the trespassing signs and some that potentially Sheriff's Office can help enforce trespassing.
Mm-hmm.
But also reaching out to federal delegation to get those racks filled.
So who are they trespassing? Is BLM going to trespass them off of there?
Well,
who
BLM brought us those maps and said the majority where the shooting is, if you go up there and look at the debris, it's on private property.
It's
and
on county property. The big shooter, that where the road turns left, that X is on county property.
Well, and then maybe we put a gate up on our property.
I think it's on our property. There's a big X, and that's the corner, there's one. We didn't go up the left. And another thing that he brought up yesterday, he says, there have been a lot of trees falling down up there on the left. BLM's not going up there to clean it all out. There's some landslides and stuff. Well, guess what? That, when we have a fire up there, they're not gonna be able to get there because BLM's not gonna clean that mess up. They're gonna maintain the roads at all, so they won't be able to, well, we just couldn't get to that fire and it burned the whole place down. Because they're not gonna proactively go up and do their thing. But it was an idea that the neighbors came up with, and I guess we can't do it.
That might work. I'd rather have local solution.
You can do it. It's just a matter of, if they're gonna be volunteering on behalf of the county, them, checking with JJ so far as insurance coverage, if they step on a needle or something like that while they're trying to pick it up, that type of thing.
I'm not sending out an invitation here, sign a volunteer waiver and all that stuff. You either clean it up or you don't. If they wanna volunteer to clean the thing up, they're not working for the county. There's no county involvement in it, other than the fact that, you know what, this thing needs to clean up. You wanna use it, you're gonna have to clean it up, and don't abuse it.
Are we gonna provide the dumpster, the Con Ed?
Solid waste, we get somebody up there to get Trent might take it up there and just leave it. Who knows? I don't know. It's just an idea, but I won't go a step farther if I'm wasting my time and it's gonna come back and say you can't do it because of poor liability to the county. It's just the fact that we are being asked to do something once again, and because we can't, because we're the county. And quit asking.
Is there any portion of that street that we own that we can put a gate across?
BLM won't let you because it's BLM road.
It's our road, is it not?
I don't know.
What
I don't
portion,
know all the
that's what I'm saying is
we've
what portion
done this
is
before.
Our
we did this with the US Forest Service out there on what was it, Sucker Creek or Dutcher Creek or whatever it is out there. And they BLM and the Forest Service or the Forest Service had a gate right there at the Y, and that lady couldn't put a gate on her private property. Because she gave them an easement through her property to get up above to a timber sale. She's not allowed to put that gate, but that's what's that gate over there,
Matt? Move them off of the property.
What's that over there for? Oh, we don't want those people up in there dumping trash on our place.
But you'll let them dump it on
private property.
She
wants to put a gate up.
Yeah.
She'll give you a key to the gate. You put your lock on there because there's gates all over with 5 and 6 locked for entry. Nope, they wouldn't hear of it. They'd tear her own gate down and keep it down. Or they were going to bust her for it.
Government's hard to deal with.
What?
Very frustrating.
Let's put a gate up and see what happens.
I don't know, it's liability. What if somebody gets hurt on that gate?
We won't put a sign on it. We'll just put a gate.
This gate is sponsored by Darren.
Yeah,
that's just frustrating.
Keep me out of it.
Whatever. I'm not going to tell the people that we're not going to do anything. I just won't do that. And that is political.
You and I started that radio thing the other day, and Dan's out of town on the 30th, I think. So we volunteered you, if that's okay.
Oh. Or we could just do it together.
You were gone.
Either way.
You were gone this morning, so Darren volunteered, and I seconded it.
Yep.
We
volunteered you for quite a few things. We're just going to unroll them one at a time.
Okay. So I learned at the Governor's Fire Council on Friday that they have the bigger wildfire policy councils, and I'm going to try to attend those meetings as well. Mm-hmm. Then we have our subcommittee on suppression. We tried to move some of the meeting dates around because there was going to be April 30th, but we moved it to May 8th to get around some stuff. But, which means I will miss a weekly business session. Coming back from Ben. I hear you. I'm not trying. I tried to get them around other things to make them as possible or as flexible as possible.
No, I think they're vital meetings to make, so thank you.
And I am planning on going to RV COG's Alert Wildfire meeting on May 10th. ODF is working with them, and there was some carryover. They asked to be there as far as the redundancy of the system, so fire-related with the cameras and such. So
mm-hmm.
It's a special meeting on the fire stuff that day. So
cool. Thanks. I'm only able to make every other month. It's the same time as the Illinois Valley Chamber meeting.
Okay.
So I'm going one here, one there.
Well, let me know if you ever need us to tag team or anything like
sure.
that. So.
Well, that goes for all of us. If you can't make a meeting, let us know, and maybe one of us can cover it.
I am, just to give you a heads up, I am going out doing a tour of wildlife images on Thursday.
Cool.
To speak with Dave Sidden and staff and board members about the help they're asking for from us. And then we have our meeting with BLM next Wednesday. Sarah and I are going to go over to talk about the project.
Cool.
So
that's good.
Hopefully it will go somewhere. And we'll come back and see next steps and have your blessing before we go to the next step. Yes, sir.
Okay, last Friday I met with Billy Williams. I was able to talk with him in the hallway for about 10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you.
About 10 minutes over in the hand delivered the packet, which had the House Bill 2382 in it, and I also urged him in person to not allow the states, unless they start getting serious about abatement on black market. Very good. He had a very good presentation. At the end of it, he gave me a booklet that, you know, he said he kept referring to this booklet, you know, that's where all his stats came from. And I went up asking, I said, where can I get that booklet? And he says, I'll just give you mine. So he just gave me mine. I brought it back. So it's just a warehouse of information on marijuana. I'll make sure you all three of us get it, because it's fantastic. Good stuff. But he had a really good, almost an hour long, hour 15 minutes long, with the Oregon cities. Myself and Court Boyce, I think, were the only commissioners in the room. We also got to ask questions, and we had a good Q&A. So I think it was very, very good. He remembered the Southern Oregon Marijuana Initiative, and I explained to him that was now. We took the narrative away from marijuana and moved it on to law enforcement, because that's really what it's all about. Mm-hmm. It's not about marijuana anymore. So anyway, he was very receptive to everything we had to say. But here again, he doesn't have any pull over state government, the legislators. What they do on their own. And he can't advise one way or the other. But I know that Rob Bovad and 7 other people are going to meet with him on May 17th.
Are you going?
No. This is an invite only, kind of like the summit was, you know. Mm-hmm. And Rob says, you know, make sure I sent everything to Rob that we did, your letter and everything all together. So he's prepared to know what we talked to U.S. Attorney Billy Williams about. And he's gonna light him up also. Because I think the federal, just listen to the tone in the room, federal government is very, very, very frustrated with the whole way marijuana industry is being rolled out nationwide. They really have some serious concerns. What they're going to do about it, I don't know, but that, it didn't, it, you know, they're not real happy with the industry and what the promises the industry has made. So that's mine. That's all I have.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We had a question come up about how often code enforcement stuff is coming back to us. Seems like it's been a while. Today we had a couple, but it's been a while since we had some other ones. We also had some conversations with Mark Stevenson about some processes there, mm-hmm. and wanting to make sure that every complaint gets a response.
Right.
And even if it's just a standard letter.
I don't think it's not. I had a conversation with Mark this morning. It's not that every complaint isn't getting a response. It's just a combination of a lot of issues.
Okay.
How much faster could it be than Friday when I was standing in the hall talking to a lady, and Augustus came out and said, come here, I'm the one you need. She goes, what? I've introduced him to Augustus. He says, come right on in. That is death full of stuff. Let's talk. You couldn't
awesome.
Have been. And I said, what do you think about
it.
That? She went, wow.
Nice.
Could have been any faster than that, huh?
Yeah, it just happened to be a case.
Well,
of
and I think
window service.
From my standpoint, I think there's something we can do before it gets to you guys' level, even.
Yeah, and I think that's happening.
Okay.
Well, the issue tends to be, you know, we get a complaint, right? And then code enforcement will send out one letter, a 30-day letter. And then code enforcement will send out another letter, a 15-day letter. And then a third letter, a 7-day letter, at which point it gets escalated to legal. And then we can send a letter, and then nothing might happen. At which point, if it's not a health and safety issue, say it's a permitting issue, that's when we would come to the board and say, do you want us to file a lawsuit? And so the concern is sending letters, not getting a response, and then having it be what would be a lower priority code enforcement issue. So it's the end result with that is that it languishes either in community development or it languishes in legal, because if we're sending a letter and we're not getting any responses from the owner, then we're kind of in a position where we'll be filing lawsuits for simple permitting issues, which I think is something that the board has expressed they don't want.
Yeah, but I'm finding that there's things getting whittled out that maybe we would want to deal with and try to get some compliance with. So I appreciate
like
your talking to him.
Case in point is today.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
we
I
thought
think,
it was all
and
handled.
And I think that, in my conversation with Mark this morning, obviously it's going to be something that he's going to work out in house, and then him, code enforcement, and I, and I'd like probably for you to sit on this too, are going to get something, something hammered out so that we're able to basically do more, see if we can do more.
I would like to encourage as part of this, so public health is also involved because of environmental health and the partnership with the Solid Waste Agency. Mike is going to be putting forth an effort in their department to get them electronic, that there is an electronic complaint process, there's a response process, and getting it kind of not just paper files, getting it brought into the modern age. It would be nice if we had a consistent throughout the whole system. So a couple years ago, when that first marijuana hearing came to us, and we're hearing about sewage and all this, and it was like, well, we've been to DEQ, we've been to here, and no action. We asked, how is this mapped? And at the time they started doing it, we realized all the inconsistencies. We said, we want all complaints to go to code enforcement, so we have, and then out to there. And but I think that one of the things that would be beneficial is to get a tracking process and a software that will get us all on the same page. We can document and see the history of properties. It'll be retention of documents a little easier. And so Mike seems to know some that are already out there, and it might be worth following up and bringing that back to us to support getting going.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't see why not. Absolutely.
If it'll help in the process. So.
Yeah. It's just, it's a thing with, you know, we get a complaint, and then if we respond to that complaint and we don't get compliance, like,
now what? Yeah.
Now what? Yeah, it'll languish in one place. And obviously we want to reduce the number of cases that are languishing anywhere.
Yes.
So that's the end, because you guys are starting to get inundated with neighbors where a process isn't moving fast enough. And
or being told, no, the commissioners didn't want to take action. Wait, this didn't come to us. What are you talking about?
And that's not the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the case. So.
Well, and there's just, because there's so many departments involved, just wanted to make sure that you're aware of some of those other conversations.
Yes, I am very well aware.
Cool.
So, thank you.
All right, is there anything else, dear sirs and ma'am?
I'm good.
All right, with that, we're adjourned at 3:31.